It is, and so we're now on the fourth taste, and like Zilla's saying, if you want to know more, come, you know, join the Explore program, and at the end, Roger will be out the back there for people who still would like to join, if they would like to, after today. So we're now going to look at the whole aspect of the course we called Sheltered, but it's really about fear. Is it an option? Is fear an option to have in our lives? So who has seen the movie The Croods? One, two, three. Wow, you've missed out on an amazing movie. You need to go and buy it. It's fantastic. So The Croods is an animation, for those who haven't seen it. And it's about caveman story. It's about a family who have loads of fear. They're the last family, well, they think they're the last family left on Earth because it's all been wiped out and so forth. And the father, he wants to keep his family safe. So he hides them in a cave. And they stay in this cave and they hardly ever venture out because outside is going to be scary. It's got all these different things that are going to attack them and all the rest. So he keeps, and what he thinks, his family and his life safe by holding them into the cave because it's too scary to be out there. He has loads of fear in his life, and it comes out through the whole of the movie, and the outworking of that fear comes out in his life. However, he has a daughter, pastor's daughter, really, no, rebellious, no, not really. So he has a daughter who sort of looks beyond the fear and wants life. She wants to chase the sun, and so she's trying to get out, and she gets out of the cave with this big rock. And she's up there, and the dad's going berserk, and then the monsters all come, and then there's a big sort of breakdown and earthquake, and they've no longer got their security blanket, their sort of their safe haven, and now they're in the big wide world, and they've got to defend for themselves. So, and the whole movie is about chasing the sun and walking this journey on discovery and learning to trust. And the poor old dad, they come across, they meet another boy who's been living in a log most of his life. And of course, he and the daughter get very close and friendly, and the dad's scared about what's going to happen there. And so it's this amazing journey that this family goes on. But actually, it's a very good picture of many, many people today, where fear robs them from life. They live a life, but they put safeguards around them and around their life to make them be able to live life as they think is safe. But actually, outside of that realm, they are anxious and very fearful and frightened and scared. Does the Bible say that's how we should live? No. What does the Bible say? John 10:10. Okay, the thief, okay, comes, doesn't it? To except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I, Jesus is talking, I have come that you may have life and that may have it in abundance. So fear is something should we live with? No. But however, when you look at fear, there are three types of fear, and two of them are good for you, one of them is not. So the first one I'm going to just touch on briefly, or the first two I'm going to touch on briefly, is the first one is what you call warning fear. So God has put within us an automatic warning system that stops us from entering or going into bad things. Okay, it's a warning fear that we have. So for instance, I could take the light bulb out of that light bulb and stick my finger in it. Okay, but however, something inside me will tell me that's not a good idea. Okay, that is the warning that God has put in us. It's a bit like discernment, that aspect of discerning what is good and what is evil, what's going to bring you harm and what's going to keep you safe. So a warning fear that God has put into us is there to keep us safe. So when you come to an edge of a cliff, there's always something inside you that makes you rise up, isn't it? Inside it says, don't go any further, because if you do, you're going to discover the spiritual law as well as the physical law. Okay, the physical law is you're going to fall off because of gravity. The spiritual law, you'll discover Jesus very quickly. Okay? So, because you'll die. So God has put that into us as something to help us, to keep us safe in our life. And it's not just on those major things. It's in all circumstances. You can call it discernment, if you like, where you discern that if I go down this way, it's going to be okay. If I get involved in this thing, it will be not okay, or it will be okay. So it's there to warn us from danger. And this is a fear that God has put in, which is a godly aspect of a godly fear. The other fear that we have that keeps us out of danger and keeps us on a safe path in life is called the fear of the Lord. Anyone heard of that one? Okay, now that's a very godly fear that we need to have. And there are hundreds of scriptures that talk about the fear of the Lord and what it does for us and to us. Proverbs 11, 1 to 3, it says, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, a branch that shall grow out of its roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit and wisdom of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his nerves." So here it's talking about Jesus and how he will carry and operate in the fear of the Lord, and that will give him wisdom, it'll give him knowledge, it'll give him understanding of the heart of the Father. Proverbs 14, it tells us, "In the fear of the Lord there is a strong confidence." So in that place of holding God in awe, in that place of reverence for him, it's going to give us a confidence and an assurance that he is our God and that he will be with us in all times. And it goes on to say, "And his children," that's us, "will have a place of refuge." So it's a place where we can run to. It's a place where it's a safe place for us to go. And it goes on, "The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death." An amazing scripture that talks about this godly fear that actually turns us away from death, or the snares of death, the things that are going to entrap us and allow the enemy to rob us, as what we've been hearing today. But also it's going to give us the fountain of life and a refuge, a place of safety to go to and to run to. And again, in Proverbs 9, verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." And it's important that we understand and have that right reverence and that fear of who God is. It's not a scary thing, okay? It's not a fear that's going to "you do and I will" to make sure that we're scared. It's totally the opposite. It's that place where we can kneel down and we say, "God, I want you in my life. I want to serve you with my whole heart, my whole spirit, my whole soul, and my whole body. I want you to be Lord of my life," to acknowledge who you are. That is the fear of the Lord. It's the same thing. I often remember when I was a kid growing up in Australia, and we'd go and sleep out. Our farm in Australia is 10 miles from our neighbour, it's 42 miles from the nearest town. So there is no artificial light anywhere. The sky is as black as you could be, but the stars are as bright as they can be. It's an amazing thing to go and see. You lie on the trampoline and you look up and you can see this Milky Way going across the sky with billions and billions of stars, and you can't help not wonder and look up and just be in awe. That's our God. God put all those stars into space. It says he knows them by name. I mean, what an amazing, humongous, awe-inspiring God that we have. That's the fear of the Lord. Yet at the same time, you can come all the way to the UK and you can, in the middle of winter, pick up a snowdrop and open a snowdrop up and you'll see a little green heart inside. Have you ever done that? Anyone looked inside a snowdrop? You get this amazing, tiny green heart. And you can see there's the heart of God, even in the smallest of things, in the tiniest of things. And that you must just wonder as well. Wow, God, you're so amazing. In the darkest of winter, we have this beautiful white little flower and it's got your heart inside it. And that's why we love God. And that's about acknowledging him and who he is. And the problem that I see today is that a lot of the body of Christ don't have the fear of the Lord in their lives. They'll go to church on Sunday. They may listen to what the pastor says and agree with it. But outside of that, there is no fear of who he really is. There's no real reverence and awe and love for the God that they serve. And straight away they forget who he is and they go off with their boyfriend or girlfriend, or they go off to the pub, or they go off and do this and they go off and do that, or no one's watching. God is always watching. There's no fear. And the fear of the Lord keeps us from trouble. Because whenever you see, whenever you walk into a situation, not is it going to be that natural warning that actually this is a wrong thing, but if you've got the fear of the Lord, you love God, actually I won't do that because I know that's going to hurt him and it's going to hurt me. And it stops you from doing those things. That's why it says it stops you. The fear of the Lord stops you from the snares of death, from getting trapped and enticed into the wrong things and doing the wrong things. And it's important that we have those both of those fears operating in our lives at the same time. The only one thing that I will say is with the warning fear is that that warning fear, often people, young people and particularly nowadays, because when you're older you're too scared, is they get involved into adrenaline junkie sports and things like roller coasters and all those sorts of things. Because the automatic response in you is to say, that's scary. If I go on that roller coaster, it's going to frighten the living daylights out of me. Is that right? But people love the experience of that adrenaline that's operating through their bodies. The problem with that is because it turns from being a godly thing to stop you from doing it, it then entices you to do it more and more. And you become addicted to it. You become addicted to the adrenaline that's running through your body. And the problem with that is later on is that adrenaline doesn't stop, and therefore you need to fill it with something else.